League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
And we're back with our guest, Ned Naylor-Leland, who is the fund manager for the Old Mutual Group Golden Silver Fund, and my co-host, Charlie Gibson. So continuing on our theme last week of silver, Ned's going to give you some of his thoughts and ideas on silver. As you know, he's written many research reports and also has appeared on many media outlets discussing his theories and ideas. So I look forward to hearing what he has to say. Let's begin. We'll start off with one of the slides that we kind of missed in the last portion.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So this is Charlie's brought this slide in today to discuss the dividend yields of gold mining companies.
And I suppose the thing I noticed was several things. One, this is, you know, forecast dividend yields for all the world's mining companies. There are 702 companies or so that could pay a dividend. There are only 36 who actually do pay a dividend. This is all 36. Very little select group of companies that pay above, well, let's arbitrarily say 4%. One, two, three, four, five, six companies. And that's all.
Do you take look at interest rates when you're investing in, or sort of look at dividend yields when you're investing in gold companies for your fund?
Well, look, I mean, it comes into it, Bonnie. I wouldn't say that it was a key mover. I think it probably Regis stands out on that list. You know, it's a favourite with the Australian fund management industry, and that's a reasonable yield. That's a meaningful contribution to a portfolio, and I think that that stands out for me on that list. I mean, what I would say is it would be great we can get to a situation where a rising gold price environment allows companies to actually go back to the historical norm of paying dividends, which is, you know, what we would have had 20, 30 years ago. But at the moment, it seems to be a little bit of,
Of course, in the old days, you'd have had 30 South African stocks there, wouldn't you, which were paying dividends? Likes of Unicel and Beatrix and Durban Deep and...
Absolutely. But even before that, you'd have had, you know, US gold mining companies paying dividends to their shareholders. Back in the days where people had 20-30% of their portfolio in gold equities, you know, the world was a different place. Not to say it won't go back there, of course, but
I see a theory coming on.
Well, look, I think it's very interesting that before Nixon closed the gold window and gold and money were tied at the hip, people would have had that kind of allocation to precious metals and precious metals equities in their portfolio. And I think that the fact that we're now down, no one really knows, but probably 0.1% of investor portfolios in gold and gold equities is really just an indication of the absolutely massive expansion of the financial economy, really, rather than anything else. The amount of gold is, okay, so it grows 2% per year, but it hasn't really changed, you know, it stays the same. But what has grown is this enormous balloon of sort of debt and derivative instruments. And yes, I think that 0.1 will head back towards a historical norm in due course, whether it ends up back at 30.
Of 20 or?
Well, I don't know.
It's between 0.1 and 30,
well, I think
15.
It's very difficult to pick a number because, of course, discipline in money is something which one usually starts having in its totality, and then it gets eroded over time. So to pick a sort of median number wouldn't really be very meaningful. But I think that it's fair to say that 0.1% of investor portfolios is about as low as it's going to get. And I think that's another good reason to be interested in the sector and to consider it as part of a diversified portfolio.
So when was the last time we were disciplined in money? Was that 1971? Or, of course, we became indisciplined very quickly then. Are we actually looking at 1950-something? Was that the last time that we were...
No, I think 71 would be the moment where obviously at that point we'd had the collapsing London gold pool through the 1960s. And then by 71, the Americans could no longer take the pressure from discipline, and they effectively defaulted on their debt. And the world turned around and said, oh dear, what are we going to do about it? Not very much. Mm-hmm. And we entered the new global monetary system, which has dominated for 45 years since. But it certainly feels to me like that's transitioning, and I know I have a slide later which sort of speaks to that point.
We'll move on to the next slide, which is, you know, in continuation from last week about the gold and silver ratio. Do you think that will come back down to more normal levels as well?
I absolutely do, but I do think at the moment there is a chance that the ratio could go a bit higher, and I think it could head up to 100, actually. I think that, you know, we're at the very early stages, it feels, of another upswing for the sector for lots of reasons, lots of secular and fundamental reasons.
But you're talking about that going up to 100. You're talking about the gold price going up.
I am.
The silver price going down.
No, I'm talking about the silver price probably going up a bit, but the gold price going up quite a lot. And I think the reason for that is that historically what often happens at this early stage of a move in flight to safety is investors and asset allocators seek out the moneyness of gold. That's what they look for. And then, of course, in due course, they start to get a bit greedier and they look for alpha. And then they start looking down the pyramid at the other ways they can express their exposure. And that's when you find that silver will then seriously outperform at some point. And I think that ratio will roll, and it will roll hard, and it will roll right back down to the bottom of the trading range. But I don't know that it will happen exactly in line with those peaks that are, you know, annotated there.
Now, there is. Can I ask you on that? Because I know you're trying to move me on, but why will it not go back to 20? Because we think there's 20 times as much silver as gold in the Earth's crust, don't we? So and that was the old mint ratio, wasn't it? It was 20-1 gold to silver. And
yes.
Yet, actually, we haven't seen 20-1 since 1900 or
yes, well, it's a
silver was demonized.
Well, it's a complicated answer, and you know as well as I do that maybe it will. I mean, it could go to 1-1, which it's been as well. I mean, you know, we don't know, and I think a lot of it is to do with
when was it 1-1?
Oh, back in the very distant past.
Right.
In fact, there've been moments in history where silver has been more valued than gold, actually, Charlie. But the truth is that we don't know. What we don't know is what the true, genuine above ground stockpiles are of silver. Yeah. We know that the market's basically been fed from stockpiles for probably a period of about 10 years to satisfy investment demand, but we don't know where those stockpiles are, how big they are, or at what point they reach exhaustion. I think if that happens, then you could get a dramatic move, and it could well go back to those kinds of numbers you're looking at. But I think if we look at it in context of this, I would like to say to you, it looks like it's about to roll over. And actually, there was a moment in December where it looked like it was going to happen, but it's subsequently gone the other way and started to head higher. And I do think probably initially people will, as I say, seek gold first. And then they will buy silver, and then it will roll over.
Do you want to look at your slide to discuss the next slide?
Yeah, sure. So this is further to what we were just talking about, which was the closure of Nixon's gold window. I find this is a rather delicious chart because it's about historical cycles. And what I'm trying to show here, this is an inflation-adjusted gold chart going back to the 1960s. And what it shows you is we've had two really big changes to the monetary system over that time frame. One was Nixon closing the gold window in 71, and the other was the imposition of QE. And in both instances, we had about a three-year run-up in the gold price where people feared inflation. They feared the consequences of loose monetary policy and a big change in the way that monetary policy was imposed. And then it peaked, and we entered a period of what I'm going to say, inverted commas, disinflation, where central banks pitched the fact that there were no negative outcome to this huge change to the monetary system. And in both instances, you have a very similar correction. This chart here on the right has not been updated. I haven't given you the most updated version of this slide, which I apologize for. But as you know, we've had a move back up rather like this one. And so what you had was a three-year run-up, a two-year 45-odd% correction, and then suddenly things start to happen. And what's interesting about this one here on the left is that this was basically the petrodollar system coming into question. And there's a feeling that we may be re-entering a similar point now in the monetary cycle where the petrodollar itself is in question.
Well, I wish we had longer to hear about your theories, but unfortunately we'll have to end this session. And thank you so much for taking time to join us, and very interesting as always. And thank you, Charlie, again for joining us, and we'll see you all next week.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.